From the Batcave, in his mother's basement, deep below beautiful downtown Burbank, this is National Bugle Radio. Hey, gang, welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN. It is the place for free speech, but for free thinking. It is the place for deep thinking, and that's why I go deep in the cave. I go deep in the cave for some deep thinking, and that's what we're doing here, free speaking and deep thinking. And also, it's not kosher certified. Why? Because we have the app. We downloaded the app from nationalbugle.com, the kosher-certified app, and it helps you, it gives you freedom of choice, freedom to lead a kosher-certified lifestyle or a non-kosher-certified lifestyle. It's up to you. It's your freedom of choice. But you know what else you get on nationalbugle.com? You get the articles that myself and Mark Dankoff put up. Mark is joining us. Mark, welcome to the show. How's your connection there, Mark? Okay. So Mark is with us.
Can you hear me okay?
Now we hear you just fine. So, Mark.
Very good. Well, I was just going to say for RBN listeners, they can find on nationalbugle.com all of the stories that were posted with Andy Hitchcock's show on Monday that will bring them up through about the 5th of April. And then, of course, for this show, we'll get some new things posted that I have in front of me pertaining particularly to Ukraine.
Ukraine. Well, you see, here's the thing. I have been spending the past week and a half binge-watching the George Floyd murder trial, the Derek Chauvin trial, because I think it's important, because I think we're headed into another summer of love. I think it's important. Dr. Duke has been binge researching the whole coronavirus stuff. But honestly, World War III would kind of trump all of that. World War III would make racial justice kind of a moot issue there, I think. And you've been...
And we are very close. This situation in the Ukraine... I think is potentially even more dangerous than this confrontation with Iran that Israel and the neocons have been pushing us into.
Which is why I wanted you to come on. Mike Rivera has done a good job of covering news, but I want the deep analysis that you can bring with your background in foreign affairs. So lay it out for us. What is the immediate threat to world peace right now?
Well, let me contextualize this as quickly as I can, and then we can get into that discussion. People, we'll get these posted for you, folks, but see Jim Jotras in Chronicles all the way back on April the 11th of 2019. What is the State Department really doing in the Ukraine? And then, of course, just from 2 days ago, Moscow holds emergency talks with the United States over fighting in Donbass, as the Ukraine says NATO exercises will train Ukrainian troops for war with Russia. That's in RT. Sputnik has an interview that's online right now. Sputnik International with Ray McGovern, our ex-CIA analyst with the Veterans Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, VIPS. That radio conversation is up there on Sputnik International right now from 2 days ago. Pat Buchanan has a post on April 5th entitled, "For What Should We Fight Russia or China?" And then, of course, going back to 2019, November the 17th, Pat has a piece out there still very much worthwhile in our conversation today. When did Ukraine become a critical ally? That is must reading. And then go to antiwar.com today, and you will absolutely have your pants scared off, folks. Just as an example, report, Biden may expel Russian diplomats and impose more sanctions. That's both antiwar.com and Bloomberg. Then there's a piece there, a great piece by Ted Galen Carpenter, and it's entitled, "Joe Biden's Ukraine Policy. Is it a repeat of George W. Bush in Georgia?" I would say that it is, but with even more dangerous implications. And then, of course, there in the antiwar.com listings, you will also find a very fine article that's entitled NATO Prepares for quote-unquote real-world fight with Russia in the Baltics. So when you start looking at all of these different places in recent years and in recent days for news, it's quite clear that the Biden administration's policy in the Ukraine and its policy toward Russia is absolutely moving American recklessness to an entirely new level. This is a terrifying situation.
Yes, and you know, these areas you're talking about, of course, Georgia, Ukraine, obviously, and then the Baltic republics were hotspots that the late Stephen F. Cohen was always talking about. He was worried about the probability of war there. And then you also mentioned Iran. And when the Iran nuclear deal was being negotiated in 2015, I believe it was 2015-2016, by Wendy Sherman, she was the lead negotiator. She was the number two person at the State Department. No, number three person at the State Department at the time. Now she's the number two person because the gang's gotten back together. Dr. Duke was very much against the nuclear deal when it was being negotiated, because he saw it as being not just unfair to Iran, but being kind of a setup that would put in place some like tripwires that could get us engaged in a war with Iran. Now, of course, that nuclear deal, the Trump administration walked out of that, which Dr. Duke also opposed, and you know, I opposed as well, because the stated reasons for walking out were retarded. That we'd given them tens of billions of dollars or something, which was not absolutely not the case. But at any rate, so we have all these things going on. We've got the not just Wendy Sherman, who was responsible for the nuclear deal, but Victoria Nuland, who was now she has Wendy Sherman's job as number three at the State Department. She had just been the Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs, responsible for overthrowing the government of the Ukraine. And then, of course, Joseph Biden was nominally the point man on Ukraine in the Obama administration, which was a post that Stephen F. Cohen referred to as the viceroy of Ukraine. So the question is, now you've got the gangs back together. Tony Blinken, who had been number two at the State Department under Biden, under Obama, is now the Secretary of State. So you got all these people back together, minus Obama, who probably, if anything, was a damper on war plans. So the question is, do you see this, given what we know about the track record of these people, and I haven't even mentioned other agencies outside of the State Department, and you probably know more about them. Do you see this administration, this illegitimate administration under fake President Biden, as actually actively seeking either war or such brinksmanship that it's completely reckless?
It's one or the other, and probably both. I think this is obviously the most reckless American policy ever toward Russia, the most reckless American policy toward Ukraine. And frankly, I think Pat Buchanan was hinting at this when he was a couple of years ago, I think on November 17th, 2019, on when did Ukraine become a critical ally. Buchanan, with his book, The Unnecessary War, chronicles all of the policy stupidities that led to an involvement in the Second World War on the part of Britain, France, and the United States, where that did not have to take place. You'd have to read the book, folks, to understand all that Buchanan packs into his argumentation. But the point is that I believe it's not unfair to Pat to say that he is seeing now a replay of these same stupidities as we stumble especially since the coup d'etat in Kiev in February of 2014, we have stumbled into something that continues to worsen as people with the most demonic of motives, who apparently will not come to grips with just how dangerous this is, in their facilitation of what happened in February of 2014, 7 years ago now, the Victoria Nulands and the Robert Kagans of the world, we now find that with everything that's transpired since then, we are truly on the brink of war, not simply in terms of what we are doing in the Donbass, but also when we start looking again at these incredible NATO military exercises that have been reported on in recent days regarding the Baltic region. It's clear that the longer-term American policy since Bill Clinton of encircling Russia, breaking our word to Russia in recruiting former Warsaw Pact countries to join NATO, bringing American military and NATO assets ever closer to Russian borders in Eastern Europe, facilitating subversion in Russia's underbelly, which is what these American policies are all about, in Georgia and Ukraine and South Ossetia and so forth and so on, we have reached a point to where the Russians, I think, are increasingly aware of the fact that at some juncture, if this does not stop, there is going to be the outbreak of a catastrophic war, both in the southern underbelly of Russia, with Ukraine probably as the ignition point. But then when you start talking about Eastern Europe and the Baltic, and you start talking about the potential for a conflict in the Eastern Mediterranean and the Black Sea in terms of naval forces, and then you add to all of that everything that could go wrong very easily in these outlandish threats against Iran, and not to mention, of course, something you're very, very cognizant of, Dr. Slattery, and that is that American policy in the Pacific related to the South China Sea and Taiwan, among other issues, continues to bring American-Chinese relationships to an entirely new level.
Right.
So when you start looking at the bigger picture on this, it is at a microcosmic level terrifying simply to focus on Iran, simply to focus on Ukraine, simply to focus on the Baltic, simply to focus on Eastern Europe, simply to focus upon Taiwan, the South China Sea. But when you bring all of this together, and the things that have simply transpired since Biden took over on the 20th of January, we are hurtling headlong into the kind of catastrophe that Buchanan chronicles for us in terms of his book, The Unnecessary War.
Right. So when you think of these people that we're talking about, you know, we've mentioned Tony Blinken, the Secretary of State, Wendy Sherman, the Deputy Secretary of State, Victoria Nuland, who's now number three at State Department. You think back to the impeachment that was over the phone call to Ukrainian President Zelensky, who's another one. And then you think of the witnesses there, you know, who were involved in Ukraine policy, like Marie Yovanovitch, the former ambassador, like this Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman. And you look at all of these names, and they all have one thing in common, is that they're a bunch of communists. So isn't communist China the real issue here? No, they're all Jews, right?
That's right. We are dealing, folks, and we can say this on this network, we are dealing with a Jewish Bolshevik takeover of American foreign policy at the same time that we are dealing with a Jewish Bolshevik hijacking of the American culture domestically. And this gets back to what Jim Jotras was talking about in Chronicles Magazine in this post from April the 11th, 2019. You know, what's the State Department up to in Ukraine or something to that effect? When you see the way in which the State Department has been using the LGBTQ agenda officially, officially in Ukraine, the way they have been using
flying the rainbow flag at the embassy, like at least they're doing that in Moscow, right? Where they're
right, exactly.
As well.
Exactly. And having, in the case of the Ukraine, having American ambassadors to that country, including the one that you cited earlier, officially appearing as the ambassador of the United States to Ukraine, based in Kiev, being involved in an LGBTQ pride march, which is obviously, and Jim Jotvers chronicles this, obviously directed at causing a major schism, not simply in the Ukraine, between the Russian Orthodox Church and the Ukrainian Orthodox Church, which historically has been under the ecclesiastical jurisdiction of the Russian Orthodox Church, but this has facilitated a potentially a schism in world Christianity, heading toward the worst split since the 1054 split between the Eastern and Western churches. And in this regard, this even goes further, and I think Jim Jotvers is the one who chronicled this at the time, where apparently the CIA, using, of course, the United States Aid and Information Agency, had apparently funneled something like $25 billion to this Greek Orthodox patriarch named Bartholomew II in order that he would issue an illegitimate edict, and I say illegitimate because the Ukraine is not in his ecclesiastical jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, he issues an edict that, in effect, sanctions these schismatics in the Orthodox Ukrainian Church who are illegitimately, in terms of the way they're handling themselves, illegitimately dealing with a Russian Orthodox patriarch who has been their patriarch historically and up until recent times. And in so doing, this is all not simply directed against Vladimir Putin's Russia generally, but it's Jim Jotvers, probably more so than anyone else, and I believe he's done some work on this on YouTube as well, Jim Jotvers, who illustrates that the LGBTQ subcultural subversion of the Orthodox Church in the Ukraine and these attempts to use LGBTQ and organizations like the Soros-financed Pussy Riot against the Putin regime and against the Russian Orthodox Church in Russia, this is all the kind of, frankly, satanic subversion of these nation states and their state churches at the same time that the Biden administration has clearly stepped up the level of sanctions that are being undertaken. They're now talking about booting Russian diplomats out of various places where they have the authority to do it. And then when you start seeing overt cooperation militarily between NATO and the president of Ukraine, and it involves not simply an escalation in rhetoric, but it involves military exercises that are either being downplayed or not even discussed at all in American mainstream media, it's quite clear that the Joe Biden, Victoria Nuland, Robert Kagan, Wendy Sherman crowd, along with Tony yeah. Blinken, is taking a look at hijacking the Donbass or eastern Ukraine on behalf of what it is that NATO and the United States and the EU and Israel facilitated 7 years ago. But when you start talking about an overt clash between NATO and what clearly would have to involve Russian troops in the eastern part of Ukraine, you drop that match in a dry field. And I think it doesn't take much of an imagination to see that in terms of the eastern Mediterranean, the Black Sea, the circumstance in Iran, the circumstance in the Caspian countries generally, and Eastern Europe and in the Balkans, we got a problem.
You got a problem. Okay, well, we are coming up on the break. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
So we got a lot of stuff to talk about. There's a lot of stuff that's going on both here domestically, you know, the whole major league stuff, and later I want to ask Mark about that. But Mark, I was just sent an article last night about a comment made by Sergei Lavrov, and you know, it's been reported. I think it was Agence France or Agence France Press, whatever it's called, that originally reported it. But I'm getting this. Let me just read the first sentence of this article. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov on Thursday warned that anti-white racism might be building in the United States and said that political correctness taken to the extreme would have lamentable consequences. Now, this was not in an American paper. It was in The Guardian, but not The Guardian of Britain. It's The Guardian of Nigeria. So the anti-white bias in the Western media is so strong that in order to find this, I had to go to an African newspaper. Your comments, please. Are you there with, is your mute off? Okay, are we having a mute issue? Okay, well, so I'll just fill in until we get that worked out.
Are you with me now?
Yeah, oh yeah. So what do you think of that?
Well, I think it's a situation where Lavrov is hinting at a very important connection. I recently was interviewed by Sputnik International on the whole question of what happened in the state of Georgia with Senate Bill 202 and this passage and the subsequent decision of Major League Baseball to pull their All-Star game out of Atlanta. Now, the implications of this were hinted at in the way in which Sputnik used a couple of quotes from me in the context of a wider article that they put together on that whole subject. I would urge people to look at Mark Dankoff's America on WordPress to see the full text of my original comments to the Russian Sputnik International reporter who talked to me. And that's important because what Lavrov is hinting at is absolutely correct here. The people behind the anti-white bias in the United States, the people behind the promotion of LGBTQ and the abortion industry in the United States are the same people who are behind these policies pointed at the Ukraine, these policies pointed at Putin's Russia, and who essentially these forces are going to use economic sanctions and marginalization, overt threats of violence, be it domestic violence or international violence, the marginalization of different points of view on these subjects, which is where the American social media joins mainstream media in censoring any of the kinds of things that we're talking about here, including the report on what the Guardian of Nigeria had to say about Lavrov's remarks, which are especially important in understanding the connection between what he's pointing to that's developing in the United States and the fact that those forces pushing those policies and these explicitly anti-Christian policies are in increasing discrimination against traditional Christians, both Eastern and Western, but that this is the same methodology that is being employed in this propaganda surrounding what NATO is doing in Eastern Europe, in the Baltics, what they're doing and have been doing, the southern underbelly of Russia. It also underscores the propaganda that the Zionist media has been promoting in regard to Iran and this JCPOA treaty. The logical conclusion that we may draw is that if the Ukrainians are that vulnerable, if the people of the Donbass are that vulnerable to these matters, and if the people promoting these things are absolutely willing to go to war, both with Putin's Russia and with Iran, these are the same people, by extension, logically, it would seem to me, who are going to bring new levels of dangerous repression and escalation and violence and economic marginalization against those of us who represent some version of the European, original European racial stock that comprised what became known as the United States of America, not to mention the various versions of traditional Christianity that were once disproportionately represented in those European groupings. So when you start watching this whole thing, I think it's important that American nationalists understand that it's not enough to say that we don't support what it is that NATO is doing in the Donbass. We don't support this marginalization that is taking place of Putin with economic sanctions and military threats and the military exercises. We don't support the moral subversion of Orthodox Christianity in the East through the deliberate political and cultural use of the LGBTQ movement and the abortion industry, but it's important to see that we must absolutely link all of that to what has happened in our own country. And those people are just as much at risk of losing their countries and their lives as we are here.
Okay, well, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
The show, National Bugle Radio, with Patrick Slattery and Mark Dankoff. And so, Mark, just getting back to that Lavrov statement, warning against, you know, the dangers of the anti-white racism in the United States. It seems that he's gone beyond anything Trump said in 4 years on behalf of white people in America. And white people in America basically put Trump in office to somehow, if not represent their interests, at least put the brakes on the anti-whiteism that is taking over the American elite and ruling class and everything. How, with the fake Biden administration trying to like prep everybody for war? I don't know if they're really prepping people for war, but they seem to be moving to the brink of war. How's this going to play out when you've got the Russian foreign minister who is speaking on behalf of whites while the American establishment is attacking whites? Do you think white people could ever wake up to that?
Well, you would think so. And the other thing that I believe is at issue here is the whole religious and cultural issue. The Russians are not unaware of the fact of the American cultural hijacking that has taken place in the last 60 years. And that chiefly this has come at the expense of the traditional Christian affiliations that many European Americans have had historically. whether you were talking about Roman Catholicism or you were talking about Lutheranism and Calvinism within the Protestant Reformation tradition, whether you were talking about Americans who do belong to some version of the Orthodox Church, that whole consensus as it impacted American culture at one time has absolutely been lost. And when we ask who it is that has been behind this, I will once again state, folks, and the Israeli media and the domestic American Jewish media were all over me for saying the same thing that Joe Biden did on this subject. And we'll go back and look it up, and you'll see that I'm exactly right. And that is the time of the Obergefell decision, where the Supreme Court of the United States on June 26, 2015, imposed gay marriage on all 50 states in this country by judicial fiat. Biden said, and I said, that Jews, Jewish Americans, and Jewish American organizations have played a disproportionate role in the sea change in American culture on subjects like homosexuality and lesbianism and transgender, on the legal recognitions given to these movements in terms of marriage and adopting children and so forth and so on, and of course on the whole issue of abortion on demand and who and what played a disproportionate role in the way the Roe versus Wade decision of 1973 engaged in the same imposition by judicial fiat of that which had no consensus in American society at the time. This is something that the Russians are beginning to understand in terms of the people that they are trying to inform in this country as to what's happening in these international situations, and that it is not in the interest of the average American to go to war with Russia or with China or with Iran. We have no business being involved in what is now transpiring in the Ukraine. And American nationalists need to recognize this, that there is a seamless garment. There is a seamless garment between those who are supporting these things and these international conflicts and those who are attempting to impose the same thing on the people of this country with great success up to now.
Okay, so we also had just last month, you had this meeting in Anchorage between the Chinese foreign minister. They always interfere in the domestic politics of other countries. And so Blinken, you know, he felt perfectly righteous in talking about the Uyghurs and Hong Kong and Tibet and this and that. And the Chinese, rather uncharacteristically, thought that they would do turnabout as fair play. And they said, well, United States has a racist past. What about, you know, racism against black people, right? And I went and looked at the China People's Daily, and I often will try to read the Chinese version of it just to, you know, see what's going on. But I read the English version, and I've got this up on nationalbugle.com. If you go to the other news section, I think right now it's the second or third from the top, and it was why Washington is a human rights double dealer, and it talked about George Floyd and slavery and all this. And my response to this was, okay, this is really retarded. They think they are totally owning America by talking about slavery and George Floyd. When did China start outsourcing its anti-American propaganda to stupid boomers strung out on Fox News? China needs to outsource its anti-American propaganda to me, a smart boomer. And then I write in Chinese, please call me. But what if China, I mean, okay, so China's shown that it's willing to do the turnabout as fair play. But what if instead of accusing the American elite of anti-black racism, which Tony Blinken was only too willing to admit to, what if they get smart? What if China and Russia start speaking up on behalf of white people? How would that play out? With China, you know, because there's the ramp up for war with China.
Yeah, and I think that that's that would be entirely a brilliant tactical and strategic move on their part to ensure that we can come to a policy between the United States and Russia and China and with the Americans and the Iranians that does not involve the reckless disregard for human rights and that does not involve the reckless employment of rhetoric and economic sanctions and military threats by the Zio-led American government, which is doing these things. And I'll continue to say this, folks, whether you're talking about central banking or you're talking about the Israeli lobby or you're talking about the LGBTQ industry, which is targeting Putin's Russia and targeting the Russian Orthodox Church in Ukraine at the behest of the State Department because they want to destroy the resurrection and renaissance of Russian Orthodox culture in a post-communist period. That's what's going on here. And there is no American nationalist, no American white nationalist, no American European Christian nationalist, whatever your historic affiliation has been racially and religiously, that has any business promoting this or supporting this. We must absolutely oppose these policies because it's not simply the survivability of other people and other people's sovereign rights in their individual countries. It is a question of our survival in our own country and trying to get our own government back from the people who have hijacked it, courtesy of the media, courtesy of social media, courtesy of our Zio national security establishment, courtesy of a Zio mainstream media, and courtesy of a Zio hijacking of our entire educational system in this country, which has been deliberately designed to target, disproportionately target, white European Christian America. It's been an attack on them economically. It has been an attack on them culturally and racially. It is an attack on them in terms of their increasingly being perceived by the Hillary Clintons of the world as the quote-unquote deplorables. If we're that deplorable, folks, what are we doing supporting or having our kids or grandkids or the kids and grandkids of our neighbors in our communities potentially dying in these wars that have absolutely nothing to do with the national defense of the United States and are designed to promote an ideology globally that is at the same time destroying us domestically?
So you've got, you know, the United States, we've got our media, most of which is, you know, CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, Washington Post, New York Times. You know, they're Jewish run. They tend to be pretty much united on their anti-white agenda. And the politics in the United States, I would say right now, you're kind of divided between an anti-white coalition and a not anti-white coalition. There's no pro-whites, but, you know, or just maybe not even not anti-white, but just less anti-white. I mean, you look at somebody like Tucker Carlson, and Tucker Carlson is completely willing to paint the Confederacy as being completely evil, and, you know, Jim Crow as being completely evil, but we're better now. And regarding foreign policy, you know, Tucker Carlson, he did have, to his credit, he had Stephen F. Cohen on two or three times during the 4 years that he could have had him on. But Tucker Carlson wasn't anti-Russian. He was sometimes kind of dismissive of Russia, saying, oh, well, it's only got an economy the size of Texas. But his interest in Russia, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I don't know if you followed him closely enough to even assess it, but I think basically his interest was to have an alliance with Russia against China. But that seems to be his main thing. He talks a lot more against China than he does for Russia. And then you got like the other, and he's the minority at Fox News. Maybe the majority at Fox News would be somebody like Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity the way he responded to allegations of Trump's collusion with Russia is no. The Russians, yeah, they interfered with our election, but they were the Hillary was the real colluder. The Democrats are the real colluders. So still vilifying Russia, but just saying that no, they're with the Democrats. And so you wonder, even the Fox News viewing or perhaps One America News viewing crowd out there, are they hopeless? Is there any point in trying to educate them about the recent history of the Donbass, of, you know, these two provinces, Lugansk and Dubansk?
Donetsk.
Yeah. Donetsk, and the recent history of Crimea. Is there any point in it, or are people just, are they too brainwashed?
Well, thus far, they appear to be too brainwashed, because to me, just in watching the breathtaking speed with which this absolute recklessness has taken over just since the 20th of January. This is not to absolve the people who facilitated all of this in past years from responsibility, but the fact is that the crowd that gave us this mess in the Ukraine in February of 2014 is largely the same crowd that gave us what happened in Libya, the same crowd that has been supporting ISIS and Al-Qaeda in Syria against a legitimate sovereign government there that the 2 million Christians of that country largely support as a minority, yes, but they understand that the Assad regime protected them against the kinds of Sunni Wahhabic extremists that have been backed by these Zionist neocons who have it in their minds that they are going to destroy Assad. They're going to destroy Iran in the same way that they destroyed Libya, or so they think. And they're going to increasingly threaten and marginalize Russia. Now, this brings us to a point in this conversation that I have never been able, every time I think this through, it just boggles my mind that these so-called policymakers, however evil they are, and they're evil, and however much they want to and have been very successful in hijacking and reshaping the United States according to their demonic zio-globalist agenda, do they really believe, especially with the floundering character of the American performance militarily in Afghanistan and in Iraq, in the way in which Putin has engaged in a very effective action of checkmate against this neocon subversion of Syria, up to now anyway, does anyone really believe that this country's military now, with our national debt and the increasingly politically correct character of our military domestically, in terms of what our troops and aviators and sailors are told they must believe politically. Phil Giraldi went into that in great detail recently in the UNS review. Does anyone believe that with these kinds of issues, national debt, $27 trillion and counting, tremendous domestic discord in the United States, an overextension of our military abroad, especially in these areas where we have intervened and have floundered, does anyone believe that if we added Iran and Russia, not to mention China, right? We just deal with Iran and Russia right now in terms of this mess going on in the Ukraine. Does anyone believe that these people would refuse to fight us, or that they would be the toughest opponents, arguably, that we have ever faced on the battlefield and on the seas and in the skies? I can't imagine. Imagine how crazy our policymakers are that they're urging a course of action upon us militarily in the Ukraine that could well nigh result in an absolute butt kicking for the United States NATO.
You don't have confidence in the brave men, women, and trannies of the U.S. military?
No, I don't, and and I don't mean to demean all of these kids. Many of them are well meaning, but the people in senior leadership positions in the military. And I'm talking about these people whose names keep cropping up both in Europe and in the Ukraine, the senior commanders of the American military and of NATO that are talking about, well, we're going to do this or we're going to do that. And, of course, the president of Kiev has now said publicly that the United States and NATO have guaranteed Kiev's position in a military conflict in the Donbass. I mean, are our policymakers and the higher echelons of our intelligence community and our military that crazy? Apparently they are. I have to conclude that they are literally out of their minds.
Okay, well, I would concur. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. Okay, we're back. So we only have a few minutes left, and I just want to ask you, okay, if we're plunging headfirst into war, how are the lineups? Is there anybody in Europe or any group in Europe, Viktor Orban or some, you know, the Alternative for Deutschland, or anybody that's really raising the alarms in Europe about what's going on? And then also, if push comes to shove, do China and or Iran actively ally themselves with Russia? That's the question.
I think in terms of the latter question, that's exactly what's going to happen. I see a wider Iranian alliance with both Russia and China, that will not simply be an increasing one of military cooperation. But I think when you look at the Russian media and the Iranian media in particular, there's a lot of talk about joint efforts that are underway that do involve China as well in terms of the so-called de-dollarization of the world economy. They've figured out that to the extent that the American dollar is the reserve currency of the world, that this continues to empower the Zio-American empire in a way that can be dismantled if they can engage in increasingly successful attempts at the de-dollarization of the economy, both with things like BRICS, the BRICS organization, as well as developing their own alternative to the SWIFT system for exchanges among banks internationally. The other thing is that in terms of those of us in Europe and the United States who would be in a position to really seriously engage in opposition to these policies of the Zio War Party, certainly there is that element among us in the United States, but we've got to work harder at recovering the nationalist, the true nationalist movement from its the infiltration of the American right by these Zionist neocons. And I think that that's the same challenge in Germany, where even with the Alternative for Deutschland movement, my understanding is that up to now, at least, they have been fairly decidedly pro-Zionist in their outlook on the Middle East, which I think is a complete misunderstanding of where their own domestic national interest lies. And it's kind of the same issue in a way that people like you and I have with the folks on Fox News, Tucker to some extent, Sean Hannity and others to a greater extent, and that is that a so-called conservative foreign policy is perhaps should be redefined as a nationalistic foreign policy, and that that is not compatible with Zionism or globalism. And of course, those two things are linked. And that's going to be the key thing that we absolutely are going to have to get across to people on both sides of the Atlantic, as well as a much wider commitment on the part of the nationalistically oriented, anti-globalist, anti-Zionist right, both in Europe and in the United States and in and throughout the UK, to say, hell no, we won't go. We're not supporting this.
Hell no, we won't go. And I tell you what, if they're going to have demonstrations, I will bring a giant portrait of Vladimir Putin and carry it around.
Yeah, I'll bring Charles Lindbergh.
Charles Lindbergh. And maybe also a picture of Alexander Lukashenko, at least his comb over. All right.
There you go.
There we go. Well, thank you for joining me. And where can people find your writings, your interviews?
Well, in a couple of different places. Obviously, I have, every first Monday of the month, I'm working with ACH and the Dankoff Report coming out of London. They can find me at Mark Dankoff, Mark Dankoff's America at WordPress.com. They can find me on Russian V Kontakte social media.
And often on NationalBugle.com. Okay, thank you very much. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.